As you know, each Sunday before I do teaching with the adults, I do teaching with the children. I've got a lot of children. I love children. I've always wanted to include them in our services. So what I do is I bring them all each week up to the front and do a lesson with them, give them some sort of object lesson, some sort of illustration that they can take home that they can remember, as I did today with the color-changing Bible cover. Some of you might remember that, and you might not remember the sermon at all. As a matter of fact, after decades of ministry, I've discovered something kind of profound. A lot of the adults get more out of the children's corner than they do out of the sermons. At least that's what they tell me. They say, I remember that children's corner, but I have no clue what you said otherwise. So I'm not sure if that's a compliment, they like children's corner, or if it's a complaint that I don't speak clear enough. But I'm going to make it easy today. Simple truths often penetrate into the deepest parts of our hearts. I'm going to keep it simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, in reality, aren't we all children? You know, just a few years ago, you can remember running and getting the Easter egg like the little kids today. You can remember playing tag. We are all children at heart. And the Bible does calls us the children of God, doesn't it? Jesus tells us that we need to become like children and that we need to have the simple faith of a child. So the idea of childlike faith, I think Jesus taught on a simple level. He talked about birds, he talked about flowers, and talked about trees and farmers. He talked on a level people could understand. So today, I'm going to treat you like children. I'm going to do an extended children's corner lesson. I'm going to, my whole message is going to be a sermon illustration using these jelly beans. I'm going to be teaching today from Philippians chapter 2. It's a chapter filled with great truth. Chapter 2 of Philippians is my favorite chapter of the Bible. It's so deep and so profound. But I'm going to share it in a simple way. We're going to use these jelly beans to explain the whole passage. So did you all get one of these? Everybody got a bag? And if you want an extra one, we've got leftovers. You can share them with your grandchildren when you go home or when you go to see your family today. You can walk through this story using the jelly beans. We've got a bag of 10 jelly beans, and of course, they're jelly bellies, right? They're the only jelly beans worth eating, correct? And inside this baggie is a paper. I've called it a bookmark today. And on the one side, you'll be filling in the blanks of what each colored jelly bean reminds us of. On the back, you have the scripture that we're using today. So let me read. Well, actually, I'll hold off from reading just for a minute. We all know that the more senses we use, the better we learn, right? Usually when you hear someone preach, there's two senses. There's sight, you see him speak, and you hear him speak. Today, what I wanted us to do is use all five of our senses. We're going to actually eat the jelly beans as I teach. One at a time. So not only will you be seeing and hearing, but you'll be tasting and touching, and if you like, you can smell. They do smell pretty good. But the most important sense, listen now, aren't the five physical senses. It's the spiritual sense. It's our heart. And I pray that God will open your hearts to not just hear, but to be moved inside at what he says. The Bible says, he who has ears, let him hear. So you can have physical hearing without spiritual hearing. And my prayer is that we'll have spiritual hearing today. So let's pray just for a minute. Father, thank you that we have your word. And thank you that it can be taught in the simplest ways that even children can understand it. And I pray that today no one will go away not knowing the deep understanding of the Easter story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so you've got the colors of Easter is what I've titled my message, the colors of Easter. I've given you 10 jelly beans representing 10 truths. Now, if I do my math right, if I take 3 minutes per bean, that's 30 minutes. That's just about right, right? So a 30-minute message we're going to learn about, and you can follow along. And here's the Easter passage I'm going to read. It's not a typical Easter passage, but it's fantastic. It's on the back of your card. It goes like this. Philippians 2, verse 5 begins, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God richly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. From the highest height, he was exalted, he was equal with God, to the lowest depth, he became a man and died on the cross, and back to the highest height. Highest height, lowest depth, back to the highest height. That's the story, the whole story of Jesus. He preexisted in heaven before he came to earth. He came as a child, lived among us, became a man, only to die on a cross and then be exalted and raised back to heaven. So let's think this story through now using the jelly beans. We're going to begin with the purple jelly bean. You find a purple one there? Now, if you're okay, I'm not going to eat while I talk, so I'm going to let you guys eat the jelly beans. I'll have mine later. Okay, I think I'll leave mine lay right here. Purple reminds us of the royalty of Christ, the royalty of Christ. So write that down on your bookmark. The Bible reveals that Jesus existed before he came to earth in Bethlehem. We think the beginning of somebody, their birth. But Jesus pre-existed in heaven as God. We just read verse 6, that he existed in the form of God. Christ, Jesus, existed in eternity past as God. And he says that he was equal to God, and he let go of that when he came to earth. He didn't cease to be God, but he let go of some of his attributes. Don't let anyone deceive you and say, well, Jesus was just a man. That's not true. He was more than a man. He was the God-man. He was then and is now still the royal Son of God. He gave up his throne when he came to earth. He left the glory of heaven to become a man. That's the purple. The next one's pink. Take the pink one. I should have told you the purple one was punch. Did it taste like punch? Or the grape? Grape, okay. Second one is bubble gum. That's a good flavor, right? I chose pink because Jesus took on human form. He took on the skin, the flesh of a baby. Philippians 2:7, we just read it, says Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So God, who's pre-existed, who existed forever, Jesus, who is God, allowed himself to become a man or a man-child, a baby. The creature, the creator became a creature. He humbled himself and became a man. We read in John 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So pink reminds us that Jesus became a baby. God descended to the point of becoming the weakest creature on earth. The human baby is as weak as you can get. Totally dependent on his parents. Do you realize that Jesus, the Son of God, had to be fed by his mother, had to be carried around, had to be protected, comforted, even changed? He was a human little baby, yet he was God in flesh. He had to learn to walk, learn to talk, learn to feed himself. Have you marveled at the fact that God stooped that low to become the weakest creature on the planet? A human baby. He loved us enough to become one of us. Amen? But we know that Jesus didn't stay a baby. At 12 years old, he understood his mission. He said to his mom and dad, he said, didn't you know I needed to be about my father's business? I'm here on business. Jesus knew why he came to earth. Even as a child, he knew that he was on his father's mission. He knew that God had sent him to earth to redeem mankind. That was the Father's business. That's why he came. He grew up and became a man, a God-man. He looked like a man to everybody else, but we knew what he could do. At 30 years old, he began his ministry. He taught. When he taught, people said, what divine authority. This guy teaches like nobody else. Of course he taught like nobody else. He was God. He spoke the words of God. And the crowds gathered. He healed the sick. It says everyone that came to him, he healed. He cast out demons. He opened blind eyes. He calmed storms. He was the God in flesh, man. He cast out demons, he forgave sin, and he even raised people from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus had no choice but to obey. 3 years passed, and Jesus became immensely popular. The word got out about Jesus. Multitudes surrounded him everywhere he went. One day, he rode into Jerusalem at Passover time, riding on a donkey or a colt. That leads us to our third jelly bean. Green. This is a lime jelly bean. Lime jelly bean. As he rode into Jerusalem, a parade of people followed him, and they waved what? Palm branches. That's why I chose green for this story. They laid down their clothing as a sign of respect and reverence. They were worshiping Jesus as he's riding in. It's called a triumphal entry. They gave Jesus the royal treatment. They shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Son of David, that's a term for the Messiah, the one who came in David's line, the one that was set on David's throne. They knew what they were saying. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were essentially saying, we want you as our king. But Jesus knew that wouldn't last long. A few days later, the Jews arrested Jesus while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Jesus surrendered himself and allowed himself to be captured. He endured 6 illegal trials over that one night and morning. 3 religious trials at the hands of Jewish priests, 3 secular trials at the hands of Roman officials. All these trials illegal, immoral, and unjust. That's what Jesus allowed himself to go through. He was abused and mocked by the soldiers. He was scourged and put on display as the crowd shouted, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate then sends him to be crucified. And that leads us to our fourth jelly bean, the dark brown. There's a light brown and a dark brown, so grab the darker brown. The dark brown is a chocolate jelly bean. It reminds us of the cross, the wooden cross. Listen to what Philippians 2:8 says. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's like even the worst possible way of being executed, God allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. The innocent Son of God was executed by guilty mankind. The innocent, sinless Son of God was executed by guilty mankind. There was Jesus hanging, as it were, between heaven and earth, raised up on a cross. The Bible says that Jesus took all the sins of the world on his body when he died on that cross. He took the punishment we deserved, that you deserved, I deserved, because of our sin. The wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God. Jesus allowed himself to be separated from his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? He took the punishment we deserved. He died as our substitute, as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, of everybody. They will receive him. It's pretty obvious what the fifth jelly bean is, isn't it? Fifth jelly bean reminds us of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. It's a cherry jelly bean. Peter tells us that we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sang that song a moment ago. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. After his death, the soldiers pierced Christ's heart with a spear. And what flowed out was blood mixed with water. Jesus literally died of a ruptured heart, a broken heart. That's what he did for you and for me. Why did Jesus die? He died for the sins of the world. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. He took the punishment we all deserve so that we might be pardoned, which we don't deserve. We can't earn pardon. But if we trust in Christ, we can receive pardon from sin. and a clean heart. I wonder, have you surrendered your life to Christ? We sing a song that says, Jesus paid it all. How's the next line go? All to him I owe. Jesus paid it all when he died on that cross, shed his blood. All to him I owe. My all, myself. Sixth jelly bring in is the creamy looking one, creamy colored one. That's actually maple syrup. That's a good one there. This reminds us of the burial of Christ, the burial of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple, and Nicodemus got permission to take Christ's body down from the cross and wrap it in linen cloth. So the light color reminds us of the linen cloth. They wrapped Jesus mummy-like, and they anointed it with perfumes and oils and placed it in an unused garden grave, a tomb. The tomb was then enclosed with a huge stone and sealed by Romans. And for extra security, the tomb was then guarded by Roman soldiers. You know this story. It's the Easter story. As far as everyone thought, Jesus was dead and buried and gone forever. And that was true for Friday night, true for Saturday, but it wasn't true on Sunday, was it? Something happened on the third day, and that is our seventh jelly bean, and that's the lemon one, the yellow one. That's my favorite of all of them, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene and some of the other women came to the tomb very early Sunday morning, only to find it empty. Two angels declared, "He's not here. Take a look. We've rolled away the stone so you can see inside. He's not here. He's risen." I chose yellow to represent the glory of our risen Lord. The darkness of death could not hold him. He was raised to life and light. In Philippians 2:9, it says that God highly exalted him. The resurrection was the beginning of the exaltation of Christ. He went from the highest height to the lowest depth, back to the highest height, given the name that is above all names. After he rose from the dead, he began to appear to his followers. We know all these Easter stories. He appeared to Mary Magdalene on early Easter morning, then to two disciples as they walked the road to Emmaus, then to the disciples in the upper room later that same day. Later, he appeared to some of the disciples who were fishing. Many, many appearances over the next 40 days. He actually appeared to over 500 people during that month. Today is Easter Sunday. It's also called the Lord's Day. You know why it's called the Lord's Day? Because it's the day he rose from the dead. We celebrate every first day of the month, the week. Easter, on the first day of the week, we celebrate the Lord's Day. What sets Christianity apart from all other religions is we serve a risen Savior, a live God. Our leader is not dead and in a grave. We don't go visit his grave. It's an empty grave. We celebrate it every single week. But there's still more to the story of Jesus. Let's consider an eighth jelly bean. It's the light blue one. Light blue one. This is the ascension of Jesus. The ascension of Jesus. Jesus gathered his followers together for some final instructions. And then suddenly he ascended into the sky. He descended as a baby. He came and became a baby. Now he ascended back into heaven. Right before their eyes, he just lifted off. And as they kept watching him, it says he got lost in the clouds. They couldn't see him anymore. Angels appeared and promised that Jesus would someday return in the same manner. Today, we're still anxiously awaiting for that return, aren't we? Who would have thought it would be over 2,000 years? But Jesus is due back anytime. Well, there's only two jelly beans left. Two jelly beans left. There's a dark colored one, a black one, and a white one. And these describe the spiritual conditions of our heart. You're either one or the other. There's no gray jelly bean here. You're either in the dark or you're in the light, my friends. Let's talk about each one. The dark one we're going to call the sin-stained heart. The sin-stained heart. Listen to how the Bible describes the human heart. Now, when it talks about the heart, you know the Bible's not talking about the organ that beats. But it's talking about the spiritual heart. The inner person, the true you. Listen to what it says. This is a licorice jelly bean, by the way. So the heart of man, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? That's Jeremiah 17:9. Your heart without Christ is wicked and dark and deceived. You can't even understand your own heart. Who can know it? John 3:19 says, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness. So the dark jelly bean reminds us of our sin in our heart. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. I talked about with the children. Satan has blinded the eyes of those who don't know Christ. They're in the dark. They're lost. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So in other words, our hearts are darkened with sin and desperately need a spiritual cleansing. We need a spiritual cleansing. Fortunately, there's one more jelly bean, and that is the white jelly bean. By the way, that's a coconut jelly bean. Our last jelly bean for the day. Listen to what David said. David, when he sinned, and boy, did he sin. Many, many times. But you know what he came back? He kept saying, he says, wash me, God, and I shall be whiter than snow. I feel dirty inside. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Isn't that what we all want? We don't want to stay in the dark. We don't want to stay in guilt. We want a clean heart, a cleansed heart. Now, I'm going to share two verses. And both these verses begin with the word if. If. That means they're conditional, doesn't it? When you say, if this happens, that will happen. If you want this, you must do that. If you desire this outcome, then there must be a condition. In other words, we must do our part before God will do his part. So here's an if verse. Are you ready for the if verse? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If, what must we do to have a clean heart? If we confess our sins, if we agree with God, what will God do? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we will come clean, if we will admit that we're sinners, that we're lost, that we're going our own way, we're in the dark, and admit that to God and confess it, then he in turn will cleanse us and forgive us and give us a clean heart. Now, is this a principle that may or may not happen? Or is this a promise that can be counted on? Look at that verse. Is that a conditional? I mean, is it a principle that might happen? If we confess our sins, God might forgive us. Is that what it says? I see the word will. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So God will do his part if we do our part. It's a promise. He's faithful. He's just. He'll follow through. If you do your part and really admit sincerely that you're lost, God will do his part and forgive you and cleanse your heart. Have you done your part? Have you sincerely confessed your sins and said, I'm tired of pretending to be something I'm not. I'm not a good person. And down deep in my heart, I know I'm lost. Admit that to God and ask him to come in and cleanse your heart. If you do your part, you can be sure God will do his part. Ready for our second if verse? We had the first one, if we confess our sins. How about this one? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, or all things are new. What must we do? We must be in Christ. We must be in a right relationship with Christ. If you are in a right relationship with Christ, then what does God do? He says you're new creatures. He changes you from the inside out. He changes your nature. He gives you a new heart. The old things are passed away. It's like God erases the old sins and forgets them. The Bible says he remembers them no more against us. As far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed our sins from us, they're gone. If anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Are you in a relationship with Christ? If you are, then you're a new creature. If you're not, you're still the old person. You're still down deep, a rebel at heart. Do you want a clean heart? You want a fresh start? Then you must come to Christ, become in Christ. You have a choice. You can keep your sin-stained, guilty heart. You can continue to go your own way. You can wander further away from God. You can leave today unchanged. Or, and I can't make this decision for you, your parents can't make this decision for you, your spouse can't make this decision for you. You have to make it yourself. You can come to Christ and receive a clean heart. You can receive his forgiveness. you can get a fresh start that you're longing for. Let me close by reading the final two verses of our bookmark. Look at it again. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. Either you bow now, or you're going to have to bow someday. You bow now willingly, or someday when Christ comes and you stand before him in judgment, you'll bow in judgment. Read it again. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess. Your tongue is going to confess Christ as Lord either now or later. Choose to do it now. Every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me ask you, have you bowed your knee? Has your tongue confessed Jesus as Lord? Have you received the cleansing that Christ offers? Have you surrendered your heart, your soul, and your life to Christ? You can make the decision right now. You can say, Lord Jesus, I choose that. Or you can walk away unchanged. His choice is yours. Let's pray. If you're choosing to follow Christ right now, let me read a verse to you. It's John 1:12. It says, But as many as received him, to those he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. If you receive Christ now, if you believe in him, if you trust in him, if you confess your sins and say sincerely, I want to change, I want Jesus to come into my heart, he'll do that right now. You pray in the silence of this moment in your own heart. Father, I pray that we will not leave this Easter unchanged. We know that Jesus rose, he died for us and rose for us. Lord, help the us become reality in our life. Help each one of us to follow you from this day forth and forever. In Jesus' name.